My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gordon Chang, my colleague and friend at Gordon G. Chang. And we're going to Brandon Weicker to help us with a surprising headline from NDTV. China building world's first artificial floating island that can survive nukes. Brandon, I hold back a little bit on this because it reminds me of Dr. Strangelove. But there's suddenly a floating island that can survive nukes gap. What has created this gap? I understand it's ready for testing. They emphasize science, but then again, there is that survive the nuke. What is it meant to do? What's its mission that you can understand? Good evening to you, Brandon.
Good evening, John, and hello, Gordon. Thanks again for having me. My thought on this is, first of all, it's a proof of concept. They might want to deploy these if they can mass produce them quickly. They might want to deploy them in some of those gaps in the South China Sea and or East China Sea, where they're developing a very robust line of anti-access area denial capabilities, notably in those man-made islands. So this could kind of be the next generation man-made island. And they're using metamaterials to build it. Obviously, though, metamaterials might make it hard to destroy. But, you know, the people can still probably get killed if there's people assigned to it. But more importantly, I think as a proof of concept, the use of the metamaterials is interesting, because if they can design these things and show that they can withstand harsh environments, you might have the basis of new infrastructure going up in the Arctic and in the Antarctic. You might also have new space applications for this new metamaterial technology. So that's the part that interests me in terms of, you know, is this something really, you know, game changing, or is this something that's really going to give us a headache? I don't know yet militarily in terms of the actual platform itself, but definitely the metamaterial angle is an interesting one.
Gordon, just a comment on the mood in China right now. We have reported very carefully the decline of GDP, the decline of all noticeable metrics. Is it still true that patriotism fires up a lot of imaginations, and that offering something that looks novel and scientific engages people as the economy does not? Does that still work?
I don't think it works, John, because there's extreme pessimism throughout society for various reasons. And building an artificial island, which is 78,000 tons, which is supposed to withstand nuclear weapons, is not something that the Chinese people want right now. I mean, they question all sorts of these projects, and they basically say, why aren't you taking care of me at home?
You have a question for Brandon.
Brandon, what's the possible use of this semi-submersible island?
Well, like I said, it could be a direct application of the next level of those man-made islands. You could load this thing with missiles and hypersonic weapons that could be used to further put at risk incoming U.S. warships or threaten those U.S. air bases throughout the region. But really the interesting thing, I think, is the applications in terms of being able to operate in harsher environments. There is a huge play right now by China to take the Antarctic. In fact, I spoke recently on my show with Dr. Elizabeth Buchanan, who's Australian government official or former official, and she's doing a lot of research in the race for the polls. And her determination is that China has basically taken Antarctica, and they're about to, with the Russians, take the Arctic. So these platforms, the kind of materials they're built out of, could help them to further lay claim and solidify their claim on places like the Antarctic and the Arctic.
I tell a story from the early 17th century. James I, who invents the idea of Great Britain, invents the idea of divine right of kings. It didn't go well for his family, but in the beginning there were a lot high hopes. And they discovered that there was trade to make money in the New World. So they built two ships, one called the Peppercorn and the other one, I believe, was called Trade of the Seas. Trade of the Seas was the biggest ship ever built for freight carrying, the idea that it would sail the Atlantic and pick up important products that were rare in Europe, like tobacco, and make a fortune for the crown. The difficulty was it soon ran into the mud flats around where it was built, and then when it got out to sea, it flipped over because it was top-heavy. I mention this, Brandon, because it's an example of poor countries suddenly getting a lot of money and having big dreams. And then they spend it on huge, gargantuan ideas that everybody thinks is worthy of our attention. And it doesn't work, and they shrug and move on. That's what this floating island sounds like, especially because it's about withstanding a nuclear blast. That's not a positive message.
Well, again, if the platform itself is not as important as that metamaterial technology, which I think is the real area of interest for a lot of the people involved, I would just point, though, ultimately Great Britain from James I, you know, after that time became a world-spanning empire, and the Chinese certainly have the ambition and I believe the technical capability to achieve a world power status, the likes of which they have not done in hundreds and hundreds of years. And this program may very well be a waste, but, you know, big things have small beginnings.
Well said, Brandon. Gordon, you have a question for Brandon.
Brandon, how much do you think something like this costs to build? And should the Chinese be building other things? Because obviously they have a lot of money, but they only have so much, right? So should they be doing this?
Yeah, well, look, I don't understand a lot of what they choose to build. Ultimately, though, they've got the money right now. And the key thing is they have the not just the mass production capacity, the industrial capacity, they have the high end industrial capacity. And while it's true, their economy is definitely decreasing in size and productivity, or rather profitability. It's important to note that the Chinese model is very different from the West, whereas everything we do is profitability first and only. The Chinese are so competitive even with each other that they slash the prices to the point that there's no profit involved. And yet the key thing is they have the ability to mass produce high end technology and metamaterials. So I think, again, the key thing here is the metamaterials involved in the production. I think it's the platform is sort of a gimmick, but the metamaterials is what really interests me, at least as somebody who observes these things.
We have a minute. I want to check in on the gargantuan boosters they're building. This would be Long March 9, Long March 10, that they need to fulfill their moon ambitions. Any update on that? How's the development of re-entry going on? Anything advanced have they been bragging about? We have less than a minute.
They've been bragging about basically their clone of SpaceX's reusable rocket, and it did surpass a milestone. It's important to note that of all the world, the Europeans, everybody, been trying to copy SpaceX. There's only one group that's done it so far, and that's the Chinese. And I have been told that people at SpaceX are monitoring the development of this particular reusable vehicle very closely because it is quite effective and very similar to what SpaceX is playing with.
So they stole the right plans.
That sounds about right. But remember, they can innovate from there.
Right. Brandon Weikert, author of Winning Space, which is why I moved from a floating island to something that actually aims at the moon. Gordon Chang at Gordon D. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.